express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Our weekly program covering arts events throughout Valparaiso and Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Hey, that theme music you heard is from the wonderful, amazing Billy Foster with a vocal.
Delightful.
Renee Miles Foster. And we appreciate them doing that for us. Our underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. You'd like to find out more about leasing space in this wonderful historic technical building on good old Route 130 here in Valparaiso, give Walt a call at 219-462-5821. That's 462-5821. I'd like to thank both of them for their generous support. Every week, we'd like to give a shout out to Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager, for getting us on the air.
We appreciate you, Greg. Thank you.
Art in the Air is also supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant, South Shore Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
And we appreciate them
as well.
Big.
Yes. It's a big help.
Big appreciation.
Big help to the station as we start doing upgrades with the new board, eventually phone-in capability, and a lot of things like that. Hey, if you're interested in being a guest, send us information about your arts-related event, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. And we also encourage you to like us on Facebook. In fact, this week we've had over 1,300 engagements on Facebook. So people are looking at our Facebook page, and we'll have more and more information there about what's coming on. And it's real simple. Our Facebook address is Art in the Air WVLP, so you can't miss it.
Well, that's thanks to the wonderful talent we have in our region.
That is. Well, thank you so much. Hey, our program, along with all of our programs, are streaming live at WVLP.org. So if you can't hear us quite over the air, we're rebroadcast Mondays at 5 p.m. You can see our entire show archive at breck.com/AOT. That's Breck, BRECH.com/AOTA. Also at that site, you can see our entire arts events calendar. Shows are carried on Lakeshore Public Radio every Sunday at 7 p.m. And we're streaming at WIUN Red Hawk Radio at IU Northwest on their closed circuit station. Now, how do we stay on the air? Well, it's through your support. All the wonderful people that have underwritten the show, like we just talked about, plus individual contributions. I put a button on our Facebook page, and someone actually donated $5 to the station.
Oh,
so we'd like to
thank you for that.
Every little bit helps. But where are you in that? Well, you can go to WVLP.org/support, or you can go to our website and find out more about how to support specifically this show. You know, Esther and I would really love it. You supported Art on the Air. Become an underwriter specifically of this program. So if you have an arts organization, we'll mention you every week, the beginning and end of our show, and other times the broadcast day. There's a whole wide range of underwriter levels, but it's so easy to do. Go to WVLP.org/support or go to the support link on our website. And we don't want you to just be a listener. We want you to become a supporter and underwriter in whatever amount you can so we can continue to bring you great local programming like this that matters to you. You say this every week. Esther smiles at it. Don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting WVLP and Art on the Air. Well, I guess it's time to start with the Porter County calendar. And starting with Valparaiso University Center for Brower Museum, we continue with the Curry Bomb, Brown County and Beyond. That's continuing on. And we have Spectral Speculations, that are Japanese prints, and Mary Bork, Unfinished, and prints by Latiro Capieri. These are all the Brower Museum and different parts of it. You can see the information. Link is on our page, so you can always find out information. Village Pines at the Village Gallery in Valparaiso. They're continuing through middle of February, Remembering a Man and His Eye for Beauty. And that's at the Village Gallery. That's by Jackson Jackson Pearson, his wonderful work there. You can see that. Chesterton Arts Center, well, they just have almost too much stuff to put on our thing, so you can go to their link. But upcoming, they just closed the Duneland Photography Club exhibit, and they'll be doing 18 artist member exhibit, and they'll be opening on Sunday, February 2nd, 2 to 4 p.m., so they're doing that. Monday Night Ceramics are coming back, also Stained Glass comes back, and if you're coming into next Wednesday, every first Wednesday, Mark Vanderwine does a critique night. So if you're an artist and you want to bring things in, you're having trouble with, he'll give you a nice, gentle help with that. We're not talking criticism. We're talking critique here, and he'll help you out with that. Art Barn, check their website for a whole bunch of new activities there. They just had their open mic on the January 24th, so you can see that. We have the links on our page. Artsy Fine Arts and Antiques in Chesterton also have some things coming up, but nothing this coming week, so we'll go there. The Ellen Firm Gallery right there is still doing the Tuttweiler show with the Chase Iron Horse, a 40 by 50 oil painting still hanging there that's on good old US 12 in Beverly Shores. And by the way, Kevin Firm is exhibiting at the Catholic Theological Union in Chicago. It opened January 26th, and he will be running through May 25th, as you can see Kevin's wonderful work there.
Please go do maybe a field trip out there so we can
exactly.
all go see it.
Yeah, we like to do that. Depot Museum and Art Gallery. Well, guess what? They're doing their 5x5 exhibit at the Depot. It's the opening event of their season. It's actually a fundraiser. So right now they're asking for artists, whether they be photographers or other artists, to paint or take a photograph in 5x5. They'll supply you with a little canvas or frames. You have to pick them up by March 1st, and it's for their May opening exhibit at the Little Depot Museum and Gallery right there on US 12, the South Shore Station. Memorial Opera House, well, they're in rehearsal for Mary Poppins, the musical, that will be opening February 14th. So you may want to get your tickets because I assume that's going to be one that all the kids will want to come see. Chicago Street Theater, well, they're in production. They just opened on January 24th. The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime will be running through February 8th. You can find out that on the link in the site. And 4th Street Theater, well, they're in their rehearsal. We had Grant Fitch on, one of the cast members of the three-person show, coming on March 13th. It's called Art. So maybe you artists might be interested in a show about art. That's what we got going on in Porter County. If you didn't have your event there, you should go and email us or anything. But let's go find out what's going on in LaPorte County. Yester.
Yeah, LaPorte County is waking up. Thaddeus E. Gallery, located in downtown LaPorte. It's a fabulous gallery. Please go look them up. Lubesnik Center for the Arts, their opening of their new exhibit is February 7th in the Hyman Gallery. And I won't go into great detail because our guests will do that for us. We'll have a conversation with them. The exhibit is called Local at LCA. It's art from the Area Artists Association, showing in the upstairs galleries as well. And in the downstairs NIPSCO Art Education Studios, Absorbing the Abstract Student Works from the LCA, and that's January 25th through February 29th. Rising Phoenix Gallery is closed until March 1st. SFC Gallery, no exhibit this month, but in March, I think they have their artist appreciation.
I think it's March 13th, Friday the 13th, right?
All right, well, we'll talk more about that next month. Blink Contemporary Art is exhibiting the work by Suzanne Cohen-Lang and Rick Lang, and they are on winter hiatus still. The Nest is exhibiting the work of Robert Serco, his exhibit Me, Myself, and Eyes, his recent paintings and drawings. I want to take a moment to send a bunch of love to Bob and everyone who's listening to this. If you can just think of him for a second and send love as well. Comic Drawing Club every Friday from 3 to 5 or 6 p.m., depending on how it goes. So January 30th, February 7th, February 14th, 21st, and 28th. If you just want to meet and draw, we just get together and share techniques and community. First Friday Drum Circle with Dan Wenig, 6:30 p.m. February 7th is First Friday. Seasons of the Heart, Perspectives on the Meaning of Love. It's a storytelling show, and it has adult themes and strong language, so please be aware of that. It's like probably 18 and over. With discretion. Join us at 7 p.m. It's Valentine's Day, and it's bringing new perspectives on what love means in America in 2020. Saturday, February 15th, and every third Saturday, the All Ages, All Talents, the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent. Brain Support Injury Group is meeting in the Nest during the winter months, and that's every third Monday of the month. February 19th is the next one. More details on the Nest Michigan City Facebook page. I also want to just add another thing about Bob, actually.
Go ahead.
So the gallery is generally open for exhibits or by appointment. So please make an appointment to see his triumphant exhibit. It's really a spectacular body of work and numerous pieces in various media. And so the Nest Michigan City @gmail.com is a great way to get in touch with us to set up an appointment.
Very good. Yeah, get out there to see Bob's work. Well, we're moving on to Lake County. Studio 659 with their exhibit Artistic License opens on Friday. That's actually, if you're listening to us live today, January 31st. It'll be from 7 to 9 p.m. It'll be running through February. And yes, I do have three pieces in that show, and I will be there. So I will meet and greet you with all the little snacks and everything like that.
All the snacks.
Right in downtown Whiting on 119th Street. South Shore Arts, well, they continue only through February 2nd, so your last chance in the Bachman Gallery to see the Things That Go Bump in the Night. Great exhibit, and I've been there a couple times to see it when I'm visiting the Center for Visual and Performing Arts. By the way, if you have a grant request, it's almost the deadline, so you may want to get a hold of Donna Catalano, and she can talk you through that. I have her phone number and email on our events page, so if you need any final tips on that artist grant, which is coming up, deadline is almost around the corner. Atrium Gallery at the Center for Visual and Performing Arts, Jane Mikulski, Leslie Sobel, their exhibit is called Earth Forms. That'll be running through March 8th. At the Crown Point Branch, they're doing Winter in the Indiana Dunes. It's featuring the work of several people, and you can see their work at that. That's in Crown Point Branch. Information, again, is on their website. Substation number 9, Julio Garvera Gallery of the Voice, continues at that location. That's the old NIPSCO substation there in Hammond, downtown Hammond. And the Toll Theater is still doing It's a Surreal Thing with Jim Sergi. His reception is coming up in February 21st, so that's what's going on with South Shore Arts. Miller Beach Arts and Creative District, they're celebrating Black History Month, and they had their opening reception on February 7th, on first Friday, 6 to 8 p.m., and they're open through like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday hours. We have that information there. Contact information is on our events page. South Lake Artist Cooperative, SLAC. They call themselves Slackers. Great group of guys and gals that put together art. Their exhibit, Wanderlust, is continuing. A call for art, I should say, is Wanderlust. It's due by February 15th. They'll go to the Wild Rose Brewery. They've just had their opening for coffee at the Sip Coffee House. That was the theme. And the other one is at Sip Coffee House 2 in Highland called Crackle. Paul Henry Gallery, Interwoven Stories. It's a four-person show with Randy Bala, Sarah Pete Convery, Tony Lipka, and Gary Price. That will open Saturday, February 1st, as their actual opening. And, of course, Paul Henry Gallery, if you haven't know about that, they have an acoustic jam. I think they have about 400 of these every Thursday from 7 to 10 p.m., so you can find information on the link on our page. Dyer Arts Visionary, their deadline for, or their continue their show, Space Energy Time at the Wild Rose Brewery in Griffith. That exhibit's about to close in mid-February, so if you haven't seen it, get over there. Theater at the Center, well, they're doing lots of things. They will have coming up February 13th. They're in rehearsal for Almost Heaven. It's a John Denver salute musical. You can see that. And they're also running January 27th through February 1st for Theater for Young Audience. They have what's called the MLK Project. And so they have some different things for the young audiences there. Promise You Art House. Well, they had a call for it. Now they're doing it, called Nostalgia. And that's opening February 1st. That's a Saturday, 12 to 6. They have different musicians throughout the day. I have the link on our page. You can find out information at the Promise You Art House. That's in Highland. Fox Gallery, well, they do an open mic along with their gallery. They're on DeKalb Street, January 31st, 7 to 11. They have a whole wide range of open mic musicians. Find out the information again on links. Lakeshore Community Concerts, well, we had them on last week. Well, the Jason Lyle Black Comic Pianist is coming up February 9th. Yes, you can still get individual tickets. You can even still buy the second half of season and actually see all three of them. This is almost the same price as an individual ticket.
That's true. It's a great
bargain.
It is, really. Truly, yeah. It is.
We had the ladies on. I brought them. Well, I brought them over when they used to be Hammond Community Concerts. They changed their name to Northwest Community Concerts when I was at Munster and worked with them for many years. It's a great bargain. You get great entertainment. The whole season is only $75 for six shows. So.
And they're fabulous shows.
Oh, they are.
We had excerpts of each of them last week. They were really good.
Yeah, they have a lot of things. So you can find out information on our website. And finally, the Northwest Indiana Symphony, not till March 6th, they will be doing Vivaldi, Rachmaninoff, and Beethoven Symphony No. 5. If you know nothing about classical music, almost everyone knows Beethoven No. 5, Symphony 5. So that's it. Hey, where's your event on here? Well, it can be. All you need to do is send it to artontheair@gmail.com. Send it there. We'll be happy to put it up with it. You'll also be in our arts link and everything like that. And you are listening to Art on the Air on WVLP and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM and on Red Hawk Radio WIUN. Well, we're pleased that we skipped over it during our things because we're going to talk about the evolution of the Area Artists Association and their upcoming exhibit, which is the 40th anniversary. Imagine that, an art group that's still around for 40 years that have really been an important part of LaPorte, even Porter County and everything. And so our guest today is George Castle, who returns to our show. Unfortunately, he didn't bring his bride with him this time, so he came solo. And Linda Weigel. So we welcome you to Art on the Air.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, Linda, I'm going to start with you. Well, just since you're new to us, since we've been doing the show, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got from where you were, where you grew up, and how you got here, where you studied, and everything like that.
Well, I grew up in the Chicago western suburbs and graduated high school from York High in Elmhurst, Illinois. And I had always been a doodler. And in fact, my teachers weren't very happy when I was doodling instead of listening to what I was supposed to be listening to in class. So at a certain point, I decided I wanted to take some art classes after I graduated high school. And I started with some private lessons, and I got the sense from the teacher that, hey, here's somebody that could really do something. So eventually, after I got married, my husband and I, he was in graduate school, University of Illinois, and I decided I was going to apply and start going to college. And that's how the ball got rolling. And from there, I continued, wound up transferring because he got stationed at Fort Sill in Lawton, Oklahoma. And I went to a small university there for a year. And then when he finally was finished, we moved to Indiana, to LaPorte. And I then began commuting to South Bend to study at Indiana University at South Bend, where I finally completed my degree in art with a minor in psychology. I had originally intended to become an art therapist, but I decided I didn't want to do that after all. I just wanted to make art.
So what were your first classes, the art classes that you took?
The first class I took when I was starting was a drawing class. It was to teach me some of the basics of how to draw. And from there, and I'd always been drawing on my own, but I got some specified help in how to create shape and volume and light and how to shade and do those basic things that you need to do.
Was it mostly just graphite or were there other materials?
It was all in pencil. And which is wonderful because the common pencil, just a yellow pencil, that's all you need to get started, and a piece of paper, and you don't have to have a lot of fancy supplies. And that can just open up a world of imagination that's unbelievable.
It's true. It doesn't take expensive supplies to get to get going.
Yeah, I see you had the psychology thing. I mean, you probably kind of funny. Artists might need a lot of psychological help, so you could be there with that, help them with that on the side. But how has your art developed since then?
Well, I started out, I was a major when my major in college was printmaking. Printmaking with I was minoring in drawing. And once I got out, I began. My husband built me a silk screen setup that I ran in our garage, and I did that for a number of years. But along came children, and along with those responsibilities, my art kind of took a little bit of a backseat for a bit of a while. And I had, when I was at University of Illinois, as a lark, I took a class in textiles, in weaving. And I thought it would just be a fun little extra to do. Well, that imprinted on me more than I had realized at the time, and eventually I decided I want to do more with this. So I joined the Doonland Weavers Guild out of Chesterton and became interested in becoming a hand weaver, and I purchased a loom. And I did that I was involved with textiles, not just weaving, but hand-painted textiles and hand-stitched. I explored every avenue I could think of dealing with fibers. And I did that for about 30 years. And then after that, I decided, okay, I want to get back. This little niggling thing in the back of my mind was, you really want to draw again, don't you? And I tried balancing the two, but it was too hard. I needed to commit myself one way or the other. And I felt I'd explored as much as I wanted to in the world of fibers. I had also worked part-time for Farmhouse Studios, which was located in LaPorte County. The owner was Clifford Peterson, and he made custom silk screened fabrics, which he marketed through the Mart in Chicago and so forth. And I worked with him for several years. And then when he and his wife decided to move, I went on and then began working for another artist, interior designer by the name of Lily Cray. And Lily had a studio in just over the line between Michigan and Indiana, close to Lake Michigan. And she created hand-painted fabrics, huge yardages, 20, 40, 50 feet wow. of continuous fabric. And so I became a colorist for her, custom mixing all the paints according to what interior designers had requested for patterns and designs. And that was an invaluable experience, learning about color and how to mix color. So I worked for her for a number of years until I started teaching. And then the teaching took over. And I loved being in the classroom.
Very good. You must know Chris Acton also, Weaver. Or maybe that was in your past experience. She works at the Chesterton Arts Center, but she also is a weaver.
I've heard the name, but not
familiar. Don't know her, okay.
So in the show that you had at Firms, was that new drawing work then? Or
yes.
That's really a great show.
That was all landscapes. Right. And those were executed. I'm also a member of the Doolin Plein Air Painters now. And I'm the only one. I'm the odd man out because I don't paint. I draw the landscapes instead. So all of those landscapes that I had on exhibit at Glen Elg Firms were executed while I was out in the field with the Doonland Plein Air Painters at some of the various locations that they visited in Indiana and in Berrien County.
You also, I think, painted a moonrise somewhere, too. She painted a moonrise across my lake at Breckwood, so in Lake Palomar.
Didn't you have paintings in the show that featured the plein air painters, Julie's group?
I have done that. Was a member of the Southern Shore Art Association for a while and served on the board there. And Doolin Plein Air Painters had some exhibitions there. I had some small paintings. Acrylics.
Yeah. I saw them at Firms during Julie's show there when they were recently. Yeah, they were excellent.
Well, thank you very much. I
really like them.
Well, we're going to move over to George. Now, he's been on the show before, but just so our audience knows.
Hi, George.
He's sitting there. Tell us a little bit about your background. I know you've been on before, but, you know, just tell us about, I know you grew up in Milwaukee, right?
Right. I was born in that area and then spent several years in a little community about 20 miles west of there. So I lived on one of the lakes there in the lake country. Spent a lot of time fishing and swimming and boating and that kind of thing.
Perfect.
But I got interested in photography. I received a camera for I think it was a 10th birthday present or something.
What kind of camera?
It was a little Brownie Hawkeye.
Aww.
That kind of got me going. And I went on from there. I became more and more interested in photography and was pretty much self-taught for most of my life. Started doing darkroom work and taking pictures for the school newspaper and the yearbook and stuff in high school. And then I went on to college. I was thinking about going to art school, actually, at one point. In fact, Connie and I were both, we found out later, both considering going to the same art school. There was a Milwaukee School of Art. At one point, I don't think it's in existence anymore, at least it's not called that anymore. But I opted not to do that. I went to school in southwestern Wisconsin at a state university there. And
University of Wisconsin.
Right. University of Wisconsin-Platteville. Beautiful downtown Platteville. The center of an old mining district. And actually, I studied geology, mining geology for...
And Connie was there?
Yeah, that's where I met her, and she was an art major. So
were those departments close by? Because I know when I went to school, we were right next to the landscape architects, you know, so...
No, we were actually in separate buildings. Well. But as it turned out, you know, a lot of people interested in this kind of stuff back in the day worked part-time for an AV department, and what they call an AV department. I don't think they call that anymore.
They probably IT now.
Something, yeah. And she worked for the AV department and doing drawing and different kinds of stuff. And I got a part-time job there also. I came to work there as a photographer for them. And she was my boss.
That hasn't changed, has it?
Hasn't really changed. No. So we always kind of jokingly say that I met her in the darkroom.
Ah.
So
we have to see what develops, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's the old joke, right? So, you know, eventually we got married and went off. I worked in geology for a number of years, 20 years or so. And then... I had kids. The kids went off to college, you know. And well, I guess when our son and daughter are about 4 years apart. So my son is older. He had just graduated from college. My daughter was just going off to college. So we looked at each other and said, well, okay, what do we do now? The house is empty, you know. And we kind of decided, well, we'll go back to college. So, you know, what else would we do? We were both interested in the arts. I had taken a couple classes over at IUN in photography with Gary Wilk back then, just, you know, kind of a part-time thing to try, because I hadn't had really any training. I learned a lot of stuff on my own and figured out I missed a lot of stuff in my self-training. So we went to college at Governor State University and kind of got our master's in painting, and mine was photography / digital imaging. And so we did that. I continued my work. Geology, switched over to IT management for a long time, did that kind of thing, eventually retired. But I had been teaching part-time at a couple of the colleges around, doing various kinds of classes in photography and computer software stuff and all that. And that's become more and more a part of my life now since I've retired. And I'm teaching part-time at Purdue Northwest sometimes, and over at Prairie State College in Illinois. Teach a variety of classes, introduction to photography and history of photography and art history, all those kinds of things that I enjoy.
Did the children go into the arts? Did your children?
No. Actually, my son is an IT person. He's a software developer with a company in Ann Arbor. And my daughter, although she has... artistic tendencies, both in drawing, painting, and photography. Her specialty is animal care. She works with a veterinary clinic up in Wisconsin, a little town called Oconomowoc. It's one of those words that nobody can pronounce unless you're from Wisconsin.
Right.
Oconomowoc. So, yeah, and the grandchildren, my granddaughter from Sarah, she's real interested in the arts, all kinds, singing, dancing, drawing, painting, writing, everything.
How old is she?
She is, nine now, I think? Nine or ten, right in there. So it's an exciting time.
Excellent. Well, the reason we have these two people here is because we're going to talk about the area artists. So I know which one of you would want to start to speak to the whole evolution of where area art. I mean, it wasn't originally called the area artist, but how that whole arts development in
over
Michigan City.
Over a cup of coffee, right?
Right,
over a cup of coffee and a conversation.
So how did that develop? Tell us a little bit of the history.
Well, it started in 1979. With the formation of the Art Center in Michigan City. The current director was a man by the name of Mr. Enzo Mangione, and Enzo had gathered and invited some artists to come and meet with him in his office. And at the time, there was barely any furniture in the entire building. And I was invited because I was, at that time, president of the Doolin Weavers Guild. and I was involved with that. So they asked me to come, and there were a few other artists there who I didn't know. And the discussion developed about what about developing an organization for artists, for people who were professional or trying to be professional, as a way to bring them together, to meet each other, to talk about their work, to be supportive of each other, to find ways to have exhibits and exhibitions and that kind of thing. Now, there wasn't a commitment on the part of the Art Center at that time to provide space for the area artists to have exhibits and so forth. It was just an opening salvo to talk about the possibilities of having an organization. And then after that, Peg and Dale Landsman, who lived in Long Beach and were active in helping to get the Art Center off the ground and were involved with that, they were both artists. And so they had a series of meetings at their house, and so continued the conversation. Eventually, an organization was formed, and in December of 1980, they had their first group exhibition.
Excellent. Well, you're listening to Linda Weigel and George Castle talking about Area Artists Association and its creative beginnings back in 1980. So the first meeting in 1980. George, do you have anything to add to that? Or?
Well, I'm one of the newcomers of the organization.
Okay.
I've only been a member for 30 years.
Okay. So you're in.
My wife was one of the early members with Linda and Kevin Firm and some of the other folks. So I was kind of involved on the side for a while,
right,
being supporting, and then I got more involved later on. But the first, the Art Center's original name was the Community Center for the Arts, at the Blank Center for
Blank
the
Center
Arts.
Blank Center of the Arts,
and
yes.
Then it eventually changed. They moved location. They were in an old building on 8th Street. I think it was an old Carnegie
Library.
Yeah. And they eventually moved to a building donated by the Lebesniks, and that's when the name changed, the Lebesnik Center. But I think originally there was like three parts of that whole umbrella. There was the Art Center, there was the Area Artists, and there was the Guild.
Right, the Guild.
Right, and the Area Artists were formed, you know, to provide a support network for the artists, to provide networking, to provide some training, all those kinds of things. The Guild acted in a sort of a support mode for the Art Center. They did some fundraising. I think they ran the little gift shop, and they did some things with the refreshments at the art opening for art exhibits. But they eventually dissolved here, I think, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago or something.
Or became kind of absorbed into the actual Lebesnik hierarchy,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
So your first meeting, so that let's take it from there and move forward in the 1980s. So that's 40 years ago.
Yes, it is. It's been quite a journey. For me, I remained a member for several years in the beginning, and then when I started teaching, that kind of took over. It became so involved because it was a college preparatory school with boarding students and so forth, Lalamere School, and I could not do both. I had to commit fully to my job. And so I stepped back from being a member of the organization and then rejoined recently in the last several years once I was retired from teaching. But over those years, the wonderful development of the organization as far as members, they started out in the early years, there were less than 20, and then within a year they had close to 40. They almost doubled the numbers very quickly. And it wasn't just, it became more than just camaraderie and having the opportunity to have shows at the Lebesnik. They also, for many years, sponsored a juried art competition. They did the work to go out there and find sponsorships and everything like that. They did work with children's art, trying to bring kids involved, and ran programs. And I think Connie was involved with that.
Yes.
To a great degree. And they also, in addition, promoted as often as they could the Art Center itself in as many venues and ways as they could. So they were, there was an outreach and there was an involvement that went beyond just hanging a show and showing up.
I might add that Linda was involved with the establishment of a sales and rental gallery.
Okay.
That the gallery had, that was maintained for us. Linda did a tremendous amount of work in getting that all organized. We had another couple of members who actually established the art fair in Michigan City, which is now run totally by the Art Center. Yeah. But back then, it was run all by the area artists.
Yeah. That was the Dabbers.
Right. We did everything. Yeah.
So much of what now is the Lebesnik really grew out of area artists.
Well, they were very involved with trying to make that that site, that organization, something that really was important for the community, that visual, bringing visual arts to the community, so that, and to get beyond just the walls of the building and to draw people in.
Excellent.
And well, it's been a long time since the area artists have shown upstairs at the Lebesnik Center, so I hope this is a bridge to make that happen more often.
Well, you know, in some ways, although they don't have a permanent space for exhibition as they did in the other building, it has challenged the organization to go beyond just those walls and to seek out other places to have exhibitions and group shows. So from that standpoint, I think it has brought growth.
No, I think that was felt at the time, too, was that it was a really good thing, but we've missed seeing the area artists other than that downstairs gallery. So it's really nice to see you upstairs.
Too. That was a regular thing. We had a lot of exhibits.
Oh, you know, like maybe 15, was it 15 years ago where each of the artists chose a business on Franklin Street and did a piece of art based on that? It was like, I'm trying to think, it was called North Shore something or other. That was such a great exhibit.
20th anniversary, the 2010 exhibit. We did a project in which different artists selected different blocks on Franklin Street and then did artwork based on certain aspects of either a business or architecture or
I know, it was a whatever. Really great exhibit. My students, we did a lot of tours there. It was
one of the things that came out of there was we made a book, an accordion-type artist book, the foundation of which was a series of photographs of the entire, all the way from Lakeshore Drive up to 11th Street on both sides of the street in a continuous fold-out book. I was heavily involved in that.
Wow.
It was sort of based on the Ruscha's book of Sunset Strip in Los Angeles, that same concept. And then the artist's work was also implanted on that. And in addition to that, we had poetry written.
A song, a whole CD was developed by Deborah Sawyer and Mitch Gregory.
We had music. Deborah Sawyer computed.
And Mitch Gregory did the.
So that was a big project. But that the North End exhibit is what you're
North End.
Referring to.
Oh, it was excellent exhibit.
Yeah.
That accordion book will be at the exhibit coming up. Am I correct, or is that a different book we're talking about?
The last I saw, that was eliminated from the exhibit.
Oh, no.
The plan was for it to be there, and last time I checked, it was not. So I don't know if it's been moved to another location or. So if you go and you're curious, ask about it because it's around. There is on display, or there was what we call the Box Project that was made, in the early 90s?
Yes, that's 2004, I believe, with the Box Project.
Oh, that's
was gorgeous.
And it is wonderful.
Yeah, it's
Absolutely wonderful. So if when you go to visit this exhibit, please be sure to see the large table and take a look at that Box Project. And you can very gently pick up the artwork and take a look at the individual pieces that were executed. But it wasn't made as one single box.
There were multiples.
Several boxes.
Oh, yeah, there was there was one for each member. And then there was another 20 or 30 made. There was quite a few
Yeah,
and I think there's still several available there at the Art Center.
Are two, I think,
Well, there's I've seen more than that there, but I don't know how many.
So inside the box, it contains a piece of art by every single member at the time who was willing to contribute. That is not only small prints, but there's also little sculptural pieces. They're absolutely delightful. So it's and the box itself is executed. It's a just beautiful box that contains
the wooden,
all these treasures.
Wooden box.
It is. It's
custom
gorgeous.
Made, beautiful.
Well, we should talk about the exhibit a little bit. It's the 40th annual 40th exhibit, anniversary exhibit for the area artists. And as I count it, there's about 32 artists that are in the exhibit, if I'm correct. Well, I did a quick thing from the PR card, and I did a quick count for that. And describe some of the different work that we might see there.
Well, there's the majority of work is two-dimensional. So you have a wide range of media as far as there's drawings, there's acrylic paintings, there's oils, there's watercolors, there's mixed media, there's a few fiber works. There's also two sculptors. Kevin Firm has what I consider groundbreaking work of his steel forms that are included with hand-blown glass. They're just stunning pieces. He has three of those. And then Mr. Larry Jensen has some wonderful handmade wood pieces. They're very intimate. They're small, but they're just absolutely exquisite little gems that he has on pedestals there. And then in addition, you have some really interesting and more unusual approaches, I would say, to the fiber works. Especially Edwin Shelton's two large pieces that he has, that at first you might wonder, what are these exactly that are hanging? They're rather flat to the wall, but once you get up close, you realize it's layers of things that are going on. You can see through like little pockets of things happening, and then surface additions. It creates a marvelous kind of insight, almost as if you're looking through somebody's dream. And it's just, they're very delightful. The colors are interesting, very nice. His wife, Laura Izzard, has two really stunning textile pieces that are hand-stitched and embroidered and just very beautiful. One is of a bat and one is of sea creatures. That the sea creatures aren't like any kind of sea creature I've ever seen, but they're really fun. And I think kids would just enjoy that very, very much.
George?
There's some other painting. There's some tempera work by Kai Konstantinov, one of the more unusual ones. And my wife has, Connie has a reverse painting on plexiglass. Those are both kind of unusual.
Yeah.
And we have some, I believe there's some prints there. Carol Black has done some things with photographs that she sort of cut and folded, so it's like almost like a relief some buildings in there. It's quite unique.
Carol's one of my favorite people.
Yeah.
And that was actually done. She and another artist drove to Gary, Indiana, and cautiously took their cameras out the windows and photographed a lot of ruined and semi-ruined buildings and everything, which is extremely poignant because when you look at her piece and you consider the fact that these were once very proud homes of people who lived there and how sad it is that that's no longer the case. It's just how quickly things can change.
Well, it's just like what the DK Devils do is they go into like the larger things, like the old Methodist Church and things like that. Mm-hmm. And now they're going to make those into they're trying to reserve them as a I guess kind of a ruined museum that you can do that. So that's part of the process. They go in there and they photograph it and everything like that. So it's great. So, George, you have some work in there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, there's some interesting photography there. I mean, I've got some of my crazy stuff there. Larry's got some things there. There's several different types of photography, both printed on paper and printed on canvas and so on.
Did you have a theme with the stuff you put in for your photography, for example?
Well, My work is kind of surreal a little bit,
right.
Maybe a little bit weird.
Is it your black and whites or?
No. They're color, but the color's been distorted quite a bit. So there's a couple. You have to go look at it.
I know. I can't. I love your work.
It's kind of like a little cryptic there of weird stuff from George.
Yeah, except I wouldn't call it weird, George. I would say it's really very, very sophisticated. And I was especially drawn to your piece, which was the self-portrait piece.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like you.
Well.
But I thought maybe this is how he sees his soul. It just gave me a moment to really, I had to really look at it carefully. There's so much detail in there.
You're listening to Art in the Air, George Castle and Linda Weigel talking about the Area Artists 40th Anniversary Exhibit, which is going to be at the Lebesnik Center. The official opening, though you go see it right now, it's all hung, February 7th, I think it's...
First Friday.
So it's at 5 to 7, I believe.
5 to 8.
5 to 8, I'm sorry. So you can go there and you'll be up for the entire month of February.
You've been to enough First Fridays.
Yeah, that's true. I should. Yeah. Well, now that Southern Shore's out of the loop for a while, you know, that was my bailiwick. So I know Laurel, who is the curator of the show, when we were working on pieces, she actually tagged me, said, well, you should come up with a theme. And for my theme, I came up with what I call nostalgic structures that have meanings of some kind. So that's sort of the theme.
You've got some historic buildings in yours.
Local, and then I picked one from the North Woods of Wisconsin, the Minnow Shack, which has a whole story behind it. So,
it's a big show. There's like 80 or so pieces in it. So there's a lot to see and a lot of interest in different areas for everyone.
And at First Friday, you can meet almost, I'm sure almost all the artists are going to be there.
There'll be a lot of us, yeah.
What do you have there, Linda?
I have three drawings, pen and ink, that were based on, two of them were based on plants from my garden. I'm an active gardener. I spend a lot of time outside gardening in the summer. And then one of them is called Light Fog at Brinca Cross. And so I had taken a trip to Brinca Cross in the spring because it just felt so good to be outside. And I noticed the light fog and how the light played among the trees before there were leaves. And I just thought it was really beautiful. So I did a drawing of that.
And now some of the people I'm looking on here are some of the other founding members of the association, like Patty Mershon.
She's got three pieces there.
And any of the other originals that are in there?
Well, Kevin Firm.
Okay.
Patty Mershon, myself. And Connie really were the four that were there at the very beginning.
I know. I called Carol Stodder, and she goes, well, I've only been there 20 years. Isn't that very long? You're so funny.
I remember when Connie kind of recruited them to join, her and her husband.
Tom and Carol, yeah.
I remember when I joined just I think 2 years ago or so, and the first meeting I went to, Ed says, you want to be president? Of course, I'm a believer that you need to be in an organization for a while before you become any kind of officer. You don't just step in.
Yeah.
I would highly second that.
Yeah, I've seen that happen too many times where people jump into the thing and it's like, do you really know what this place is about? So I think the institutional memory of an organization is very important in making it run.
I remember a story about I used to be quite involved with volunteer firemen. I was a volunteer firefighter for like 30 years. Anyways, there was a department somewhere I read about where they always took the newest member and made him the chief.
Oh, jeez.
They figured that was the quickest way to force him to learn all the different stuff. Now, nobody really paid any attention to what he said.
Right.
But they forced him into that position just to learn fast.
Did it work?
I don't know.
Let's talk about, you had exhibits, I know, at the Chesterton Arts Center, and there was one at the Welcome Center.
Right, we've had a couple at the Welcome Center. We've been at Miller Beach.
Okay.
We've been at the Brower. We have an exhibit coming up at the Buchanan Arts Center.
Mm.
I don't know when that, March or April, I think it is, March maybe. So we've been to Rensselaer. An exhibit down there. So we've been around different places. It's sometimes a little bit difficult to find a place. We're at the Valpo here at the art house.
Right.
On that end. It's a little bit difficult sometimes because we have a lot of members and there's a lot of work and you have to find something big enough. So one of the tendencies is to have people break off a little bit and form little subgroups or go off by themselves or with a friend in order to be able to show an exhibit that has a smaller space.
One of my favorite ones that was done by the Area Artists upstairs, and the upstairs was with Howard, Valerie, and Ron. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that one? Mm-hmm. That was like a great pairing. of area artists.
And were you ever at the Southern Shore Art Association?
Yes, I thought so. I missed that one, yeah.
Yeah.
We were there.
That is also where one of the subgroups had a very wonderful exhibit at the Southern Shore mm-hmm. Art Association. It was a group that was started by George and Connie, and it pulled in other members from the Area Artists Association. And the first iteration was called Unbound, and we created pieces that we did a performance piece at the Michigan City Public Library, where our artwork, which was had to do with the digitalization of books. Many of us still like our books in a book form.
Books on print. Right?
Mm-hmm. Newspapers
so
on
we,
newsprint.
We created these works, and they were all initially the same size and dimension, and then we created these, our interpretation of that theme, and then we, at the Michigan City Library, we stacked the pieces, and then slowly we took one by one, removed them, until the only thing that was left was a computer with the digital version of the art itself.
Oh my gosh.
So it was kind of a performance piece in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. It was just wonderful.
When was that?
That was, let's see, how long ago was that?
Oh, about 10 years ago or so. I made a book based on that. Yeah. You can find it on Blurb if you're interested.
Yeah.
And you're involved, and is I don't know if this is the Area Artist, but the Zine Fest, is that actually an Area Artist thing, or is that a separate thing?
That's actually sponsored by Lebesnik
okay.
Center. We're getting ready for our third annual Zine Fest. That'll be April.
And you explain what a zine is, because most people go, well, what's a zine?
Okay, a zine is a, well, you think of it, it sounds like part of the word magazine, which it is. It's designed to be sort of a periodical publication.
A baby magazine.
Yeah, they're significant because they're self-published, and there's usually a low print run. And they can be any of a variety of topics. There's some that are literary, some, you know, just poetry. There's some that are like graphic novels with a story in it. There's art-based zines, and there's photo zines. So it's a photo zine thing that I kind of like. I become very enamored by that kind of thing and photo books, so that's kind of my.
I know you inspired Larry after special. Your visit. Yeah.
I know. I need to get on the stick and do that.
So there's another one coming up here in April. I think on February 17th, it will be on the Lebesnik website, which allows you to sign up to get like a table. They have like. I think it's like $20 to rent a table or something for the day. It's 1 to 5 in the afternoon on a Saturday. But they have a big turnout, and then they have poetry reading. They have other kinds of things going on there. So if you have any interest at all, I think it's a worthwhile thing to go
to. And if they have any questions, can they just contact you at your web address?
They can do that or through the Lebesnik Center.
Okay.
That would probably be the best thing.
Yeah, and looking for advice on how to put together a zine.
Yeah, I'm going to... I've recently joined this Duneland Photography group.
Oh, they're wonderful.
Oh, yeah. We've had them here, and you know, of course, I've spoken to them, too.
Yeah, so I've got a presentation I'm giving in March. It'll be on photozines.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
And I know I did one for them, and there's people of all different levels in that organization, but they had me come in to talk about how to exhibit, because I know there's a lot of new people that have photos, but I said, what you need to do, the logistics of actually exhibiting. And then I talked a little bit about marketing, but actually you need to have wire hanger, you need to do this, you need to, and how to actually get into exhibits.
Because
there are a lot of experienced people that know how to do it, but anyway, Steve had me come in and give a chat on that.
One of the, I think, wonderful things, being a former educator, is they do hold special little workshops for families, moms and dads and kids, to make their own zines. And that's a lot of fun.
So right, at the library they have that.
Yeah.
They're going to have a workshop at the library prior to this.
Yes.
Another one, a free one, so if you're interested.
Yeah, it's just really delightful.
When I teach my introduction to photography class out at Purdue Northwest, I include zine making in that mm-hmm. as actually a final project, putting together a theme-based shoot and then compiling it, printing it. There's a lot of folks, including me, that kind of look askance at photography, quote, photography that is not printed, you know. So I really enjoy it.
We don't have a whole lot of time left, but if someone's interested as an artist in joining the Area Artists, what do they do to do that? I mean, you know, what's the process?
They can go to the Area Artists website, and it's areaartistsassociation.org.
O-R-G.
O-R-G. And at that website, they can find out information about how to apply. It is a jury process. There's a committee that will look at the work and jury the artist. But that's as simple as starting out by going to the website.
Okay, and so they would show you some body of work, and you're interested in probably people of all different kinds of media, all maybe even some levels, at least if they show some artistic. So like there's an 18-year-old kid that has some body of work, they might be able to join Area Artists.
Sure, we're more interested in their quote professionalism,
right,
and their interest in following art exhibits, you know, becoming involved in that and all those kind of things. So it's not really age based, it's more skill level.
Sure.
Based and interest based. And there's also a link on the Lebesick site, I think,
yes,
that you can go to.
Yes. And it's, as George said, it's skill level and also, I think, professionalism.
Right. I always use that word when I was directing theater for school, but I said we called the P word. I said professionalism is the consistency of putting the product on stage. So, you know, people come to see a show, and so that would be kind of this type of thing. Professionalism is the approach that you're not just winging it and everything. So any final quick thoughts here?
Come out and see the exhibit.
Okay.
You'll love it.
Yeah, and that's,
you will love it. It is really a wonderful show, and it's quite diverse, and I think there's something for everybody.
Excellent. So that's on February 7th, 5 to 8, at the Lebesnik Center for the Arts in Michigan City. So if you get a chance to get out, there'll be some refreshments there. And so I'd like to thank Linda Weigel and George Castle for coming by today.
Thank you.
For talking to us. And you've been listening to Art in the Air. This is heard every Friday at 11 a.m., rebroadcast at Monday at 5 p.m., and Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Hey, your hosts today are Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. I always like to thank Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager, underwriters for Art in the Air, Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. And, of course, Art in the Air is supported by Indiana Arts Commission Project Grant and the National Endowments for the Art. Once again, if you're interested in being on the show as a guest or telling us about your information, email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. And remember, we're on Facebook, and you can listen to all of our shows at breck.com/AOTA. Next week, we have the brothers Brabant, John Lenting, and Giuseppe Lenko.
And, that's going to be fun.
It's going to be a thrilling time together. And so if you tune in next week, you can hear the brothers Lenting, Lengingo.
Telling stories
and everything like that. So we hope to see you here next week right on 103.1 FM, Art on the Air.
Aloha. Have a terrific week. Love you bunches, Bob.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.